ebook publishers and marketing services company, Just Imagine Inc. presents Get Behind Me, Now Stay There, a fun-filled, informative podcast available on iTunes and right here locally on KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, art and entertainment news and views. Today, we talk to Amara Kobakova, working on the Seattle film set, Fat Kid Rules the World. David Phillips fills us in on a wino strut from the shoreline of Venice Beach, California. And we hear this month's Blackstone audio feature. Hint? It's one of Shakespeare's most famous lines. All coming up right after this news. Hello, and thank you for joining us for a show filled with the information you want to know. I'm Cyrus Emerson.
And I'm Lucia Sherman. Here's a look at our top stories in the art and entertainment world. Peace Village Festival 2011 kicks off on August 19th through the 21st with three full days of concerts, replete with a wide variety of music including reggae, world fusion, rock, folk, gypsy, Latin, funk, and Americana, all with the common goal of uniting in the spirit of peace. Jackson Wellsprings is the idyllic setting for Peace Village Festival 2011, from 12 noon to 11 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and from 12 noon to 10:30 p.m. on Sunday, with its camping and spa use available for low additional fees. This year's fifth annual event also features an artisan's village with amazing crafts and imports, Kids Village, the work of local masseuses and healers, and a visionary arts exhibition. In addition, there will be dynamic speakers and workshops, plus yoga and movement classes. The focus is on embracing inner and outer peace and the village model in all aspects of life and community, as well as sustainability, health, relocalization, and celebration. This year's theme is Convergence, Onward into 2012.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
I was thinking I'd like to go and check out the arts because I'm a big arts fan, and I'm sure they have a lot of wonderful mediums that they're going to use. And I'm especially interested in hearing the music because they have a lot of great artists there, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Definitely. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. This just in from Wired Magazine. Apple's iCloud.com website has gone live, allowing developers to test out the online version of MobileMe's replacement. At the same time, beta versions of the iWork suite for iOS and iPhoto have also been made available, and inevitably, many details have already leaked to the web. iCloud is Apple's new sync service. When you create or edit a photo or document on your iPhone, iPad, Mac, or Windows PC, it is automatically pushed to any other device you have chosen. Thus, you can snap photos on your iPhone and have them ready to edit on your iPad in seconds, along with a safe backup on your home Mac. The iCloud.com site is the online home for your data. There's a calendar, an address book, a mail web app, access to Find My iPhone service, and a new section called iWork. These all look a lot like their iOS counterparts, right down to the icons. Most interesting are the online versions of Pages, Numbers, and Keynote. Windows users need not feel left out. Also available is the iCloud control panel for Windows, which lets you configure iCloud on the PC. Wow. iCloud, yeah, it's virtual reality, I think. It just goes up in the cloud and you can download it wirelessly wherever you want. Pretty amazing.
You know, filmmakers have been using a lot of different programs for editing over the years, electronically. And this is kind of looking like it's going in that direction. So I think editors especially are going to have a wonderful alternative to their getting their film piece together.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It sounds really exciting. It does. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah, the future is now.
I know. I know. It's wonderful. It's in our hands now, huh?
It is.
The night Brooke Shields made her debut in The Addams Family, one of her co-stars was ready to pounce with a prank. You have to make fun of her, explained Jackie Hoffman, a comedian highly skilled at improvisational humor, who was playing Grandma opposite Shields' Morticia in the Broadway musical. Shields was prepared. You don't hit the shows in the middle of runs such as Wonderful Town, Chicago, Cabaret in Greece, and now The Addams Family without expecting some ribbing from the cast. It came midway through Act One on her debut night. Hoffman, costumed as a wizened woman in her hundreds, walked across the stage and, in a cackle, asked, "No one comes between me and my Calvin Klein jeans?" She then waved her rear end at the audience and answered her own question. Nothing. The audience in the Lunfontein Theater erupted in laughter, with almost everyone recognizing the reference to Shields' famous TV commercials in the 1980s. And the person who enjoyed it most was Brooke.
She's still around, huh?
I'm not finished with my read yet.
Okay.
Just wait till I finish my read.
You okay. Got it.
She credits her career's longevity to a combination of perseverance and never stopping just because one entertainment medium was cool to her. She has been a model, appeared on TV in both dramas and comedies, written books for adults and kids, been on Broadway, done cabaret and starred in movies, and she earned a bachelor's degree in French literature from Princeton University. Shields says, "You kind of have to be pursuing it all at once and see where the water's warm." These days, the water's warm again on Broadway. Shields inherited the part of Morticia from B.B. Newworth in late June and will be sticking around at least until, appropriately, Halloween.
She's still around.
She is.
She's still around,
you
know,
I met her about 20 years ago in Los Angeles, and she was absolutely darling. I was very impressed with her. She was very famous at the time, had no attitude, had no ego. She was a joy.
Pure professional, huh?
True, true. Yeah, very much so. No wonder she's had this longevity. And good for her.
Yeah, definitely. Paradise Lost team plans two more West Memphis 3 documentaries. Many filmmakers dream of turning one movie into a sequel-spawning franchise. But the news that there will not only be a third, but likely a fourth Paradise Lost documentary is bittersweet to all involved. Joe Berlinger co-directed Paradise Lost, The Child Murders at Robin Hood Hills, and Paradise Lost 2 Revelations, which documented the trial and controversial convictions of three teenagers known as the West Memphis Three for the grisly murders of 3 8-year-old boys in West Memphis, Arkansas. Originally, Berlinger had envisioned Paradise Three not being over until the story comes to its conclusion, meaning exoneration or execution. He hadn't planned on making Paradise Lost 4, but it's in the cards now because Paradise Lost 3 needs to remind people the case is still going. The West Memphis Three have been in prison for over 16 years. Many activists and several celebrities, including Johnny Depp, Metallica, and Eddie Vedder, believe the trio were wrongly convicted based more on their interest in heavy metal and Stephen King books than the actual facts surrounding the case. Depp made headlines for his pre-taped CBS 48 Hours Mysteries interview that discussed new DNA evidence and alleged juror misconduct that could theoretically overturn the convictions.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I don't know too much about this case one way or the other. You know, I just believe in a fair trial and justice for all. So, you know, I guess we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I hope that justice does come forth.
Definitely. And that's your art and entertainment news for August 2011. Keep listening for Blackstone's special feature.
Amara Kopakova is a multimedia artist currently helping with the film Fat Kid Rules the World in Seattle, Washington. She caught up with the president of Just Imagine It, Inc., Charlie Stanton, in this interview.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back again to another episode of Get Behind Me, Now Stay There. Today, we're talking with Amara Kopakova from Seattle, Washington, the Emerald City. She's an artist, and she also is an author and is currently making a movie. And welcome, Amara.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you on. Well, we've been following you, you know, quite a bit, and I'd like to know what you're currently working on.
I am currently working on a movie that's being filmed in Seattle. It's called Fat Kid Rules the World. It's based on the book by K.L. Going and being directed by Matthew Lillard.
And what's that about? I've seen the posters for it. Tell us a little bit about it. So obviously, we're on audio.
It's about a fat kid, obviously.
Really?
At the beginning of the book, he is in high school and desperately miserable, more miserable than most high school students because he is fat and unloved. And he's contemplating ending it all with the bus coming along, and a guy comes by, sees what he's about to do, and decides to save him. And not just save his life, but save his mental state. He gets him into punk rock.
Punk rock saves the world?
Punk rock saves the world.
You know, I knew that. But I never had it, you know, explained to me before. At the the theme, we don't want to, you know, give away the ending of the book, so...
Or
the movie, yes. And when is this movie going to be coming out?
It's independent, so it's going to be going to film festivals and then hopefully be picked up by distributors. People showing an interest will aid that particular goal so that everybody in the world can see it.
So are we looking to wrap the movie up, you know, sometime before Christmas, do you think?
They're wrapping the movie. Actually, we're almost done. We're wrapping in about 5 days. And then it goes through the editing process, and it'll be at film festivals next year.
All right. We'll be looking forward to that. You know, we have a film festival here in Ashland, Independent Film Festival, and, you know, maybe we can talk to them and see if we can get that.
Hopefully you guys will get to see it then.
Oh, yeah. Definitely you'll get to see that. So is that's your current passion right now, is this movie?
It is. It's a real passion. That's a good word for it. It's I came on as an extra. Craigslist ad answered it. They wanted punk rock high schoolers. I said, well, I'm not in high school, but I think I can play one on TV. And they said, great, come on down. And I started sketching because as an extra, you end up having about 10 hours of downtime and about 2 hours of work.
Okay.
So hanging out, there was nothing much to do. I started sketching the cast and crew, and as I became more and more involved and learned more and more of the story, it really just struck me as absolutely amazing. And a lot of these sketches turned into paintings, and the paintings went out into the world as posters, and it's all just come together perfectly to be an artistic vision of many people.
I've seen, I'm looking at right now at some of your sketches, and they're amazing. Now, where can people find these sketches and more information about the movie?
They're on my website, and the movie, the best place to find information about it is on the Facebook page. If you search Fat Kid Rules the World, people are constantly posting on there. A lot of the crew working on the movie are photographers, videographers doing small photographs, montages, stuff like that, and posting them right on the Facebook page.
And you're on your website as well, right? Amara Art?
AmaraArt.weebly.com.
Okay, and that's also available on www.justimagineitinc.com as well, where Amara is currently the featured artist. So we'll be looking forward to that. So Amara, on our last podcast... we were all talking about your book, Viva la Revolution.
Viva la Revolution.
Viva la Revolution. Perhaps you can enlighten our listeners here to what's it about and what inspired you to write it.
Viva la Revolution is about
the American government system.
Mm-hmm.
It looks at the system that was created and why it was created that way, and then what relevance that it has today. And that makes it sound like a really boring college course book. But what I did with it was I wrote it very conversationally. And with the technology that we have today, there are literally millions of fonts available. So with the book, I use those fonts to convey the emotion of whatever I was talking about, the emotion that I was having inside, so that it's visually visceral as well as being something literal in front of you. And
where did it come from?
I'm not really sure. It was really, I was watching a lot of documentaries and watching a lot of Penn and Teller, which is just a great show.
I've seen it.
And I woke up one morning and it was like a thunderbolt inside my head. Oh, it's time to write a book now.
And that's when the revolution started.
And that's when the revolution started. I sat down at my computer and the whole thing flowed out of me in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? I was just going to ask you how long it took to write, because that's quite amazing.
It really was. It was amazing to experience it and sitting inside my own head watching what was going on. It was absolutely unreal.
And what kind of reaction have you gotten from this book?
I haven't had anyone read it who hasn't wanted to talk about it. Who hasn't wanted to talk about it with me, who hasn't asked, you know, hey, who else has read this book? Who, you know, it inspires discussion. Whether or not they always agree with me is another point entirely, but does seem to be something that gets people talking.
So it's thought-provoking?
It is thought-provoking, absolutely.
So if we want to get our thoughts stimulated, where would we pick up this book?
You can get it on my website. It has a link to my CreateSpace. I published it independently.
Okay.
And it's also available through Amazon.
Nice. Well, is this the only book that you've written, or are you planning on writing more?
I've written some children's books, but this is the only adult book that I've written so far. I do have a plan to write another one.
Along the same genre?
Sort of. It's called Fuck.
Okay.
And the idea for the book is to put in all the things that, all the rants and all the thoughts and all the artwork that I could never get published through a publishing house. You know, we live in a system that is very dependent financially on having things go through publishing houses, so that they get mass distributed, so that they get to a million people. I would rather have a book that I write that has real content, that's not self-censored, it's not censored by the publishing industry, it's not censored by whether or not Walmart or Barnes Noble pick it up, that exists for the 100 people who decide to pick it up.
Right.
Then make $1 million off of it. I'd rather make a statement than make a buck.
Well, you know, that's an interesting concept, because there was a book out about maybe 5 years ago, author from New York, and he'd written it's really a fantastic book about a guy that's working his way through college and works at a porn shop at night. And all these adventures that he goes on, and it's just a great story. And you know, the title of his book originally was Fuck, and MTV picked it up and they published it, and they bought the rights to make a movie out of it. And, but they did they made him change the name to the hell with it. So you might want to consider that, you know. I mean, really, you know, does it come down to, you know, I just want to express myself and I don't care, you know, who listens, who reads, or who watches? Or is it, you know, I want to express myself and I want everyone to, you know, to have a chance to, you know, see what I'm about?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I want to express myself truthfully. And truthfully, sometimes it just feels like fuck.
Okay. Well,
and everybody feels like that. this isn't something that's unique to me. Everybody feels like that at some point.
Most people feel like that on a daily basis, Amara.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you get up in the morning and you can't tie your shoe, you're like, fuck.
I feel like that in traffic jams around the Emerald City every day.
Well, you know, well, I think you've hit on a common thread here that everyone can identify with.
Absolutely. And the word fuck, I mean, you see on Inside the Actor's Studio, so many people say that that is their favorite swear word because it's so versatile. It can mean so many things. And yet we limit it so fiercely in movies and TV and books.
Well, I don't see it being limited too much in movies. But, you know, it still has a bit of a shock value to it. You know, and I know what you're talking about, like, I saw an episode of Inside the Actor's Studio where Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on. And he always does that thing at the end, what's your favorite cuss word?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, fuck, which is, you know, pretty, as you said, pretty common. And she, you know, then he followed it up with, well, if there's a heaven and you get to the pearly gates, what do you want St. Peter to say to you? And she said, get the fuck in here.
That's brilliant.
So, so we're with you on that, you know. I mean, I would, you know, mildly suggest you might change the title so we can all, you know, see it. I'd like to see it in mass production, you know, so everybody, you know, can get a chance to, you know, experience your literary prose. But what about your art?
Well,
that's what you're most
out there as much as I can, you know.
I'm picking up on that. Hey, what about your art? You know, I mean, that's what you're really well known for.
It is.
And you know, talk a little bit about your art and you know what inspires you and where it comes from. I've seen some of your artwork, you know, being performed, and it's just amazing. And it's almost like you're in a different world when you're painting.
It really is. I do a lot of performance painting in and around Seattle, and it's a great way for me to be part of the band without having to play a musical instrument because I am woefully untalented in that area. So I get to hook up with bands from a lot of different genres, go on stage with them with my spinning canvas, they play, and I paint. And most of the time I've heard one or two songs that they've done, and I don't have a set list. I'm not entirely familiar with their music or what they're going to play. So it's really something where I have to completely let go. I have to stop judging myself. I have to stop directing myself and let the music just flow in my ears and come out of the brush. And it's really quite an amazing experience for me as an artist to be able to let go in front of people and have them watch the process of creation.
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off. It really is almost like, you know, like a birth.
Well, you know what? I watched you perform and, you know, I've got to say when you start off, you know, in the it's spinning, you know, you kind of answered one of my questions was, you know, do you get as much out of it as we do? But, you know, when I see the finished product, it's always, you know, nothing that I thought it was going to be.
Do you know it's always nothing that I thought it was going to be? I get very surprised by what's going on during a lot of these performances. I had one a couple weeks ago. I played with a fabulous musician in Seattle. His name is Rhythm Turner. And she really just lets go and jams. She rocks out. She does a lot of beats that get faster and faster and faster, and there's very frenetic energy about it. And halfway through the painting, I just let go, put down the brushes, stuck my hands in the paint, and just started pawing at it and finger painting and letting it completely go. And the painting that I came out with was like nothing I had ever done before, because it was so inspired by this music that was like nothing I'd ever heard before.
And do you do a lot of performances in the Seattle area?
I do a couple a month.
Do you ever think about?
I'd like to do more, but it's a very weird thing to pitch to people.
Well, I think it might fly down here in Ashland. We're kind of known as a liberal town here.
I'll have to come down there at some point.
Oh, we'd love to have you. You know, before we wrap this up, I'm very curious and would love to have to know, and I know that all the listeners would like to know too, a little bit about your story coming out here from the East Coast, because it's an amazing story.
Absolutely. Well, I was working at a small college in upstate New York for about 3 years as a professor, which was quite a coup because I only have a master's degree and a bunch of experience. And I got laid off, story of so many people. And I turned to my partner and I said, let's just go. And he traveled before and he looked at me with a knowing smile and said, okay. So we got rid of everything that wouldn't fit in our tiny car and packed up and said, okay, which way? And started driving. We drove down the East Coast, saw Washington, D.C., went down to Georgia, went to Oklahoma City for Pride and through the Ozarks, through the Rocky Mountains, slept in the car, slept in hotels that had no internet and spotty electricity.
No internet.
All the way through the desert, up to San Francisco and up the Pacific Coast. And when we hit the Emerald City, it seemed like a good place to hang out for a little while. And then it seemed like a good place to winter it out. And it just keeps getting better up here, so we keep staying.
Well, you know, that is an amazing story. And that sounds to me like something you should write a book about, to be honest
with you. I'm working on a comedy routine, actually.
Oh, really?
That tells a lot of the stories. And I'm going to do it with my spinning canvas so I can tell the stories visually as well as in an auditory manner.
Oh, how cool is that? And, well, you certainly have a sense of humor. I think we can all tell that.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
Well, no, you do. Well, you know what, Mara? I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. And we look forward to seeing the movie, Fat Kid Rules, and all your new projects. I suggest everybody go out and get a copy of Viva La Revolution. And you can see Amara's work at www.amaraart.weebly.com or on www.justimagininginc.com. And thank you so very much for coming on today.
Thank you. It's been brilliant.
Okay. We'll talk to you really soon.
To learn more about Amara Kopakova, visit us on our website at justimagininginc.com.
The Wino Strut Lifestyle is a David Phillips art brand, and he shared some of it with the president of Just Imagine It, Inc., Charlie Stanton, from the shoreline of Venice Beach.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of Get Behind Me, Now Stay There. Today we have on artist David Phillips from Venice Beach, California. Welcome, David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going really good, really good. Good to hear from you, and how's it going out there in Venice Beach, California today?
Very good, man. It's very sunny out today, which I'm always happy about. I like to try and surf as much as I can, and the waves were a little flat today, so that was a little bit of a bummer, but the water temperature's still good, so I'm happy, man.
Well, for, you know, I did not know you were a surfer, but that makes sense in Venice Beach.
you know, yeah, my studio is by the water, so I try to get out quite a bit.
Nice. Well, you know, for our listeners out there, David is a painter, and he's also a director of videos, really surreal videos. They're really cool. And for those of us that are familiar with your work, you know, no introduction is needed. But for all the listeners out there, I want you to tell them a little bit about what you do and how you came about doing that.
Well, I started as a wildlife and portrait painter in the Midwest, in the state of Oklahoma, where I'm from. And I studied with my grandmother, who's a well-collected still life painter from a very young age. And I guess in college, I got into abstract and more avant-garde painting. And it seemed to lead to more fun shows and a little bit of better opportunities for me. So I decided to stick with that. And as I worked on the technique and honed my own style, I suppose the paintings grew in size and detail, and I stuck with it.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you about your particular style, because your paintings are fascinating, and for all those who want to see David's work, you can see it on his website, which is www.wino-strut.com, and also available on www.justimaginingink.com as well. But where do you, some of your stuff is just like, I don't want to use coined phrase of like, it's way out there, but it's different. I see some of your stuff and I'm like, what is David thinking? Because it's very thought provoking and it's just like, where's he going with this? And how do I get there?
Well, when I first committed to it, as a career and as a lifestyle, I knew I needed and wanted to do something that had never been seen before, and something that would, live longer than I will. And I suppose the technique was a direct reflection of my influences, which were primarily abstract expressionist painters of the 40s and 50s, particularly the New York school. Guys like de Kooning and I guess Pollock gets thrown in there every now and then. And painters of that genre. And essentially I studied and saw as many of their paintings as I could. And I was a portrait painter, so I had a technique already developed and embedded in my head. And I sort of de-evolved the technique and simplified it to make the image more contemporary and more minimalist, and also at the same time using color to create a composition without having to use an actual image. And I suppose that's the style of the painting as best as I can describe it.
Well, it's definitely nice, and it's different, and we hope that you live a long time, but I'm fairly sure that it's going to be around for quite some time. I strongly, suggest everyone take a look at it. And, I would love to come down to see one of your shows. I've seen some things that you've done on your Facebook page and, some of the promotions for that. Well, and by the way, you've got quite a following there on Facebook. How many of those people do you actually know, those 12,000 people?
Well, it's sort of the nature of being exposed and putting yourself out there. You get contacted by various things or whatever. So I've always wanted as many people to see the work as possible. I'm really just the work is more important to me than anything about myself or anything like that. But the important thing to me is having it be shown and having it be seen by as many people as possible, and create discussions over, where does this live in the current state of art today, and where is this going? Is this important? Is this art? Creating those sort of controversy, because I do all styles, and I still do photo recreation and sketching and drawing, although I don't show it anymore. And now all I have committed to only showing abstract and things, a little different in nature, just to sort of mix it up and create those conversations. And I'm really sort of just a vessel for the creation of that, and what happens after it's created. I'm not that concerned with. I just sort of do it and then put it out there and see what happens.
Well, I saw one of your paintings, Live While You Can, Dear. Came out on the 4th of July, I think, this year. What kind of conversations did that spark?
Well, actually, I just sold that painting to the Georgia Theater last week. It's going to be in their dressing room. And if you know the story of the Georgia Theater, it burnt to the ground 2 years ago. And the owner of it, Wilmot Green, who's a good friend of mine, wanted the painting for the dressing room there, I suppose because the colors look like fire. And before bands play and everything, it'll be sort of an awareness of the historical importance of the Georgia Theater. But I didn't have that in mind in creating it. I wasn't trying to make something that looked like fire or anything like that. I was trying to create a composition using only color, no text, no image, that provokes impact and that provokes momentum and movement. And the title, Live While You Can, Dear, I suppose comes from the immediacy of living to the fullest and having as many experiences in one life that you can pack in. And that's why there's the use of bright red, a very vibrant yellow, and those colors. And then the edges are black of the painting. And I suppose that represents sort of not making those decisions and not having that sort of lifestyle or sort of, and I put it in the center of the painting, the color, just to provoke that conversation of you know, making moves, of creating and committing to it, and, you know, putting yourself out there and, you know, having as many experiences as you can pack in.
Well, you know, it certainly got me to thinking, and, you know, that's why I wanted to ask you about it. It's a wonderful painting. But, you know, speaking on the theme that you were touching on about, you know, live all you can while you can, seems to me that, we know you a little bit, but for all of our listeners out there, you seem to have engulfed that lifestyle. I mean, I can't think of something that you haven't done.
I never intended to tackle different forms of media and different forms of art. It sort of was just a, I guess, the nature of evolving as an artist, and as I had more steam behind me, and of course, you know, funding and things like that come into play, I was able to venture into video and venture into digital art, which I initially despised and really didn't really see the importance or where it would land in art history and things like that. But now I've sort of embraced the different technologies and all the different mediums, and I'm willing to, you know, try just about all of them. And when I try them, I want to present something that's never been done and that is unique and in my style within that particular genre.
Well, I think you've accomplished that. Now, you know, there's a couple of videos I've seen of yours. I've seen a lot of them, but two of them that really stand out for me are, one, the Mega Chills by Future Birds, which from, I think they're from Athens, Georgia, and, and Dios. And I don't know where you filmed that, but I will tell you this. When I first saw the Future Birds Mega Chills video, I thought, you know, well, one, the song is beautiful. And, you know, let me back up for the listeners a little bit. You know, I first saw the Future Birds video live with them doing it in San Diego. And it was a band. It was a band doing a nice song. And then I saw, you know, the one that you directed, and I was just like, wow, this is like the Beach Boys on acid. It's really out there. You know, you talk about California Dreaming, you know, if you haven't seen it, go on, you know, either David's website or just www.justimagineinc.com and watch it. You will not be disappointed. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I've always been a fan of experimental film and abstract film. I'm a huge fan of Kenneth Anger, who is an experimental film director. I guess in more modern times, I'm a huge David Lynch fanatic. And so when I did learn the technology and learn the editing capabilities and the coloring of film, it sort of was a Pandora's box that opened for me and opened a whole new world to where I felt like I could really show a vision that was in my head, take that for what it's worth, and present it, you know, with music and cut it, edit it to the beat of a song. And the videos are created using multiple forms of media. Primarily, I will use found footage, and in particular with the Future Birds, I used some 60s pornography and 70s horror films and whatnot, all very obscure and sort of under the radar. And essentially what I do is, for the filler or whatnot, I'll use something as simple as a flip cam down at the beach by my studio. And what I do with all the footage is I recolor every frame and mess with the timing of every single frame and stack the images. Every piece of video has at least three or four different videos going on at once. And I make it, I try and make it cohesive and able to tell a story, or at least an abstract representation of a story that goes to the song. And so I loved the Future Birds. I had heard their music through a friend pass it to me. And, their management was put in contact with me because they had seen some of my abstract films, and they gave me the song, gave me the rights to it, and pretty much said, "Go wild with it. We want something."
And I, mission accomplished.
So yeah, I went wild with it, and I you know, lived with the song and all the footage and the videos that I had for, you know, 2 months, and worked on it every day, and you know, it was. And then it came out to what it is.
Well, you know, on the Dios video, another great band, you know, it's, you know, personally, you know, I like the Future Bird one, the art style of that. And the Dios one is just like, to me, it's so, well, first of all, the song is so, it's got such a huge hook in it. And so, so snappy, as you know, for lack of a better word. And it's just like a really fun video. It almost seems like, you know, you're like, okay, you know, I went a little out there, you know, and now I'm gonna, you know, come back in a little bit and be a little more modern. Was that the case?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of just listened to the song for a week or so on repeat as many times as I can, and just sort of try and I really don't know how to explain it. Just sort of live with it, and whatever emotions or visions they sort of provoke, then I go out and I create those emotions or visions, or at least an abstract representation, so the viewer can watch this and come up with their own interpretation.
Well, you know what? When you show them to the bands, what's their reaction?
Oh, they love it. They love it because it, you know, it is something different, and it's not a literal interpretation. I don't do, like, if it's a love song, I don't have a couple, you know, in a house with candles. You know, and I try to think outside of the box in that regard and give them something that more goes. Well, I'm a music fanatic, so I listen to albums every single day, so primarily new music. Of course, there's old stuff that I always go back to. I'm a blues and jazz purist, and even classical in some sense. But I try and give them something, you know, unique. And I am an artist, and so are they. And I am, you know, a visionary person, and they're, you know, typically... I mean, they're a band, so they're more in the audio realm. And so I try to pair the vision with their audio sensibility.
Speaking of vision, David, do you like sometimes do you think to yourself, you know, I've got a vision and the rest of the world is wearing bifocals. They just can't see it.
I've had unique emails and unique discussions at shows of people that might have a negative reaction to what I'm doing. And I'm very encouraging of that. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing because it adds a dichotomy to the argument of what is art and what can art be, and how important is it? Is it important? Am I completely wasting my time, or should I continue on this. So I enjoyed that discussion, and I am completely open to the criticism, and I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't have thick skin.
Well, I think all artists have to have a thick skin. Well, speaking of that, you know, thick skin. Well, why don't you walk us through the Venice art crawl? For those who didn't see it, you did a promotional video for it, and you know, I don't know if you made that or not, but it was great. The one in the truck.
I'm lucky enough to have a really good friend who's a killer cinematographer and director. His name's Grant McFadden.
Uh-huh.
And I came up with the concept for the video, and I essentially made a shot list, and then we went out and we executed the shots needed to create the video. For every show that I do, video to me has become important. I think it was John Baldessari, is one of my favorite artists, a Venice artist as well, who said, you know, the future of art is video. And I sort of embraced that. Not at first. I really was very reluctant to get into video content and whatnot. But since I have, been kind of opened a whole new world for me. And yeah, I like to create a promotional video for every single show that I do to, you know, it just seemed more interactive to me than emailing people a JPEG or a flyer.
No, and it certainly works. And the, you know, what I was leading up to was like, you know, all the reviews I've read, you know, whether it be in the Huffington Post or wherever, about, you know, a David Phillips showing, you know, it seems like wow, David Phillips is a rock star. I mean, you guys are just having a great time down there. Why don't you, you know, walk us through one of your shows and tell us, you know, what we can expect when we go there, and you know, what's it going to be like?
Well, I try and offer the show for me is essentially more of a party and more of a celebration than it is than anything about myself or anything like that. I really want it to be for friends and buyers and collectors, more as a thank you. So for every show, I insist that there's a bar and you know, something festive so people can have a good time, so they're not just, you know, having to stare at the work in silence. I play the bands that I work with. I play bands that are friends or bands that I just dig during the entire show. And I always, you know, will pull some sort of stunt during the show or whatnot. I had a show at the Downtown Arts Center in Los Angeles where I hired people dressed in animal costumes carrying signs for the show to walk through the downtown LA art walk and then walk through the show just
Love
to present
it.
You know, something different, and it's more or less just a thank you.
Where did you come up with the name Wino Strut?
The name Wino Strut is an original term that I came up with, and it's a story from my favorite painter, Willem de Kooning. And the story comes from he was a painter in the 50s in New York, and he was at a point where he was very destitute, had no money, no job. And he had a lot of paintings, and he couldn't sell them. And he got in contact with someone who had a case of wine, and he was in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and the case of wine was in the Upper East Side. So he had no way to get there, so he decided to take the painting and walk it to the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And the painting is 5 feet tall and 4 feet wide, and it was the title of his woman. He did multiple of those paintings. This one in particular is called Woman. So he walked it, whatever, 60 or over 100 blocks to get the case of wine. And I always called that walk his Wino Strut.
Oh, beautiful. That is great. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Well,
that was sort of the whole story behind it. I read this story and I wanted an original term for it. And Wino Strut just popped in. And I just attained representation from a gallery full time downtown, and they told me we're going to set up a website for you, and they wanted to use DavidPhillipsFineArts.com, and I thought it sounded extremely lame, and not very marketable. And I figured Wanna Strut could be a brand rather than just about the paintings. It could be a lifestyle, a brand, and essentially, like I said, live longer than I do. And, I thought it was marketable, so essentially that's why I used it.
So will we be drinking Wino Strut anytime soon?
I make wine bottles, and
I knew it.
I put original pieces of art in the wine bottle and leave them up and down the coast of Southern California. I would be thrilled to have my own Wino Strut wine.
How cool is that? next time I'm down in Southern California, which will be in the next couple of months, I'm going to walk comb the beach until I find a Wino Strut bottle.
Yeah, they're all numbered.
They're everywhere.
I put about 4 or 5 out each morning. I try to.
Well, that's just fantastic. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this new project you have coming up with the, you were going to do a new video for a new band, or what is that?
Yes, I'm lucky enough to have one of my really good friends is Bill Bayard, who started the Austin-based band Sunset, whose album, I believe in 2009, was titled Glowing City, and it was in Pitchfork's top 10 albums of that year. It's a masterpiece. It's a double disc album that's kind of unknown, except the music snobs or whatever freak out about it. But he's a good friend, and he has a new album coming out August 1st, which I think is tomorrow, with 50 limited edition vinyls coming out, and that's the only amount that he's going to do, and that's on I'm sure you can Google Bill Bayard, or I think it's on his Bandcamp site. And I'm doing a video for him, working on it right now, called We'll Meet Again Someday, or Maybe We Won't. And that should be coming out within the month.
Oh, great. We'll be looking forward to that. We all love your videos. And before we go here, I want to tell everybody that it's been great. This has been we've been talking with David Phillips from Venice Beach, California. He's available on www.wino-strut.com, and also on justimagineinc.com as well. And David, this has been great. Will you come back and see us again sometime?
Oh man, absolutely, of course. It's fun.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on, and maybe you can tell us how things went with some new videos or any new work that you're doing. Oh, and by the way, for all of our listeners out there, especially all you females, when you've heard about David's lifestyle, he does look like a rock star.
I am in a very committed relationship with a great girl, so I, as the older I get, I'm settling down.
Okay, well, that's good information. All right, well, enjoy the waves out there today, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Oh, yeah, man, anytime. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, David.
To learn more about David Phillips and all artists featured on Get Behind Me, Now Stay There, visit us at justimagineinc.com.
Hamlet.
Blackstone Audio, Inc. has thousands of amazing titles, including the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's brilliant production of the disturbing and psychologically rich masterpiece, Hamlet. Whether you're a Hamlet scholar or exposed to this work for the first time, this stunning piece of audio theater, fully dramatized with performances by the Oregon Shakespeare Festival cast, is a must-listen.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep, no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, did I? To sleep. To sleep. Perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns, puzzles the will, and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all. And thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with a pale cast of thought, and enterprises of great pitch and moment, with this regard, their currents turn awry and lose the name of action.
My lord.
Hamlet cackles with a modern energy while still casting the sort of cold, eerie light on human experience that has made it history's most celebrated play. Hip-hop's just a small, though potent part of the thrilling whole. The Oregonian. For more information about top-selling titles from this award-winning company, go to blackstoneaudio.com.
Get behind me, now stay there. It's a Just Imagine Inc. presentation and was recorded in the Blackstone Audio Inc. studios in Ashland, Oregon. If you would like more information about this show, or if you or someone you know would like to be featured, please call 541-708-0525 or visit justimagineinc.com. I'm Cyrus Emerson.
And I'm Lucia Sherman. Please join us again next month for our interview with Marion Mitchell Wilson of the Inlandia Institute. Their state of mind.